Welcome to another edition of the Superflight NBA podcast. The Superflight podcast, the Superflight NBA show, the Superflight Superflight. That's it. Welcome to the Superflight show. How's it going, everybody? I'm your host, Joe Borelli, coming at you from my studio in Brooklyn, New York, on a Tuesday afternoon, February 13th. And the reason being is because I had to come home sick from work because I kept throwing up everywhere. Not everywhere, just in the bathroom. But yay me, I'm finally able to keep some water down. So I figured I would do the opening for the show that I did last night. So here you go, everybody. Winter sucks. I hate being sick. And there we go. Actually, I don't know how sick I am or if I just have food poisoning. Either way, winter still sucks. I am standing by that. This is your, I'm going to say David Cho of NBA Podcasts, because as you're about to hear with my conversation with Dave Dufour, we talk about David Cho, and embarrassingly enough, me, a self-proclaimed artist, doesn't know who David Cho is. Well, I've corrected the errors of my way. And so I'll say, welcome to the NBA Superflight Podcast, whatever the... You're David Cho of NBA Podcasts, because like David Cho, I hope to one day be really good at art and make millions of dollars doing it. Actually, I've checked out David Cho's work and it's actually pretty nice. It's really, really good stuff. He was a graphic artist, not a graphic artist, but I guess graphic artist, but he was a graffiti artist rather. And as you'll hear the story that Dave tells me, he makes some money. And it's pretty impressive. And I go and say something stupid like, you know, you only artists who are really struggling make money. Or, you know, have anything real to say. Not true. But I do feel like it gets watered down when it gets to the gallery and museum scene. And, you know, there's a history of artists talking about, like, how, you know, the gallery is diluting their message. And, I mean, this goes all the way back to the 60s and stuff. Actually, even further than that, back into the salon style shows in France, in Paris in the 1800s. Oh, why am I talking about this? You guys don't care. Anyway, this is a basketball podcast, not an art podcast. But yeah, thanks Dave for coming on last night. We had a hell of a time. It was funny and ridiculous and we were all over the place. And Dave Dufour is a very busy guy. So getting him on my podcast, as you'll hear, is next to impossible. So we did this spur of the moment, no outline, which I usually do, and you'll hear me talk about that too. So I'm going to let you guys behind the curtain a little bit. I do an outline for my guests so that I can stay on point. It helps them to get some information about what we're going to talk about and, you know, gives them somewhere to go, I guess, if they're struggling, which I don't think my guests usually do. I'm the one who usually struggles. I'm the one who has no memory. And in order to keep myself on point, I have to write myself an outline so I don't just talk and go all over the place like I'm doing right now. You'll notice that there's a distinct difference between the beginning of the show when I just ramble and tell you what's on my mind and the rest of the show in which I provide an outline so that I can stay on course, usually in my show. This is all behind the scenes. Welcome. Welcome to my crazy world. It's not that crazy, but sometimes it is. Anyway, last night, we had no outline whatsoever because I, you know, got in touch with Dave and he had last night to do this. And I'm super appreciative. And after trying for weeks and weeks to get him on the show and our time slots never lining up properly, he's like, what are you doing right now? And I said, shit, we're doing a podcast. So no outline. It's totally off the cuff. And it was an amazing conversation. This was easily one of my favorite podcasts I've ever done. So thank you, Dave, for coming on. I hope you're listening to this. He's a very bright guy. He's intimidating with his intelligence and his dashing good looks and his wonderful radio voice. Platitudes, platitudes, platitudes. Anyway, so Dave's coming up. In the meantime, I think story time? Is it story time? Actually, I forgot before I do that. Ways to get in touch with the show. You can follow the show on Twitter at SuperflightPod. You can follow me personally at Joe Borelli on Twitter. You can also find me and James Hollis on the show that we do together at DunkTalesPod on Twitter. You can follow on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher. Sorry about SoundCloud. I've been really bad about uploading episodes, but I'm going to try and do this one. Because if you don't have a paid account, and I don't anymore since I'm on the network, then you have to delete shows and then put the other ones up. And I keep forgetting to do that. So sorry, SoundCloud listeners, I will get better at that. And you can subscribe to the show on Almighty Baller. You can click and subscribe over there, almightyballer.com. You can email the show at thesuperflightpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow on the Facebook at the Superflight Podcast Facebook page. And anywhere else you can find your shows. And by the way, and I say this all the time, if you want to support the show, please do so by going to iTunes and clicking on the show and rating and reviewing. Because if you don't, no one will ever find the show. Now, I know all of you that are listening already know this. You already know about the show and you clearly enjoy it. You like listening. I don't know why, but it's fine. Thank you. I really appreciate it. But if you want to help support this show and you want it to grow and you want other people to find it and you appreciate what I do and you like my stupid commentary and you want to hear more, well, then you have to go and rate and review. Because the way it works is the more ratings it gets, the more reviews it gets, it helps it climb up the charts, the standings. So then when the next person that comes along is just randomly looking for some basketball program, some basketball NBA show to listen to, they could possibly find this one, and then they can rate and review, and then it will grow more. See how that works? If we don't do this, then I have to ask you to start going door to door and spreading the word. I don't think anybody wants that, unless you're going to take Girl Scout cookies with you, and then in which case, if you have children that are going to do Girl Scouting, please send them door to door with the cookies. Send them my way as well, but also tell them to tell everybody that they meet about the Superflight, because that would be really appreciated, and then, you know, then the Superflight and Girl Scout cookies will always be synonymous, and that would be amazing, because I love Girl Scout cookies, and who doesn't? And this show is good, like a Girl Scout cookie, right? Don't ask me what I'm talking about. I have no idea. Just write and review, please. Thank you. Okay. Where were we? Story time. Well, aside from the fact that I had to go home earlier from work today, which I already told you, because I had probably food poisoning from eating boneless chicken wings. Don't eat boneless chicken wings, kids. They're really bad for your health. If somebody offers you chicken and it doesn't have a bone in it, it's not a real chicken. I'm just saying. You probably don't want to eat it. It's a bad idea. But I did, and I'm suffering for it. But aside from that gross nonsense, here's some more gross nonsense. I forgot about this story, and it keeps popping back in my head. A couple weeks ago, it's probably like a month now ago, right? Really cold outside, I decided to go for a run. I don't think I told you guys this. I've told you the time about when I was going for a run and I was running down my block and saw some very attractive girl was checking me out. And it turns out the reason she was checking me out is because I had a bloody nose. I think I told you that story. This one is sort of similar. It's in the same vein. Real quick, gross story for you. I'm running down the block and some dude, like not one dude, but like two different dudes that I passed by are just like looking at me. Like in horror, like as I'm running by, I'm like, what is going on? What happened? Like what's happening? And, I just kept running and I'm like, man, what am I going to do? Stop. So they look and they turn around grossed out and like turn away and just keep running down the block. Well, you know, sometimes when you're running and it's really cold outside, you get a little phlegmy, right? You just like try and spit some phlegm and just spit it away from you while you're running and hope it lands a long, safe distance from you. This is a really disgusting story. I think you can probably figure out what I'm about to tell you. So I went and I hocked a loogie to my right into the street, only it disappeared and I had no idea where it went. So I was like, that was weird. I thought I could have sworn I just spit. I don't know what's going on, but okay, I'll keep running. And I'm running and I pass a dude and he looks at me like he's going to throw up. And I pass another dude and he looks at me like he's going to throw up. And I'm like, what is going on? And I looked out of my shirt. Or rather, my running jacket. And so it's one of those running jackets that has a collar, right? So, like, the collar is really close up to my chin, to my cheek, my jawbone. And I look, and guess what got stuck on my collar on the way out? It was this giant slime ball that was running down my shirt. It was gross. And, yeah, I don't know why I'm telling you guys this. This is a disgusting story. The point of the story is, if you're going to hock a loogie, make sure you clear yourself while you're doing it. Make sure you just, like, get it far out of your face, way away from you, and not on your collar, where it's going to hang on and take a ride with you and gross everyone out that you're passing. And the reason I'm telling you is because I'm still grossed out. Like, I was, like, frantically trying to wipe myself off while I'm running. I had my gloves on, and, like, my gloves are all full of, like, snot and shit. I was just, this is horrible. Why am I telling you guys this? Anyway, it's a terrible story. I'm sorry. Please don't throw up, but you'll be in the same boat as me right now. In any event, Dave Dufour is coming right up, and we had a really great conversation last night. It's funny and silly, and I obviously don't know what the hell I'm talking about half the time, but it's still good. Dave is incredibly intelligent, and yeah, he fills in the spots where I can't, so it's definitely worth a listen. Anyways, coming up right after this, we'll be right back.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And having to, like, I for most of my life, as you can imagine, being an artist, I've made so little fucking money and worked so hard to get anywhere.
Art dealing and art curation pays so much better than being an artist.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, like, if you're an artist who's challenging social norms or challenging people's mindset, you're not making any money. You're struggling, because that's where the real good stuff is, in the struggle. You know,
sure,
what I mean?
Oh, except for, like, David Cho.
Yeah, sure. I'm not even sure who David Cho is.
It's David Cho, right? He's like I think he's rich because of Facebook.
David Cho.
Right?
I don't know. I just see Washington Post.
Yeah, he's like a, he was like a graffiti artist.
Oh, David Cho, yeah.
Yeah, but so, like, I guess Zuckerberg or somebody wanted some art. Mm-hmm. And instead of paying him, they gave him Facebook stock.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he fucking, like, made tons of money.
Good for him, though. I mean, fuck, how do I not know about that? Good for him.
It was Sean Parker asked him to paint graphic sexual murals at the inside of Facebook's first Silicon Valley office. Mm. And then I guess Zuckerberg got him to do more. And yeah, he received company stock instead of cash, because apparently he's a gambler. And his shares his shares in 2012, when they hit the IPO, were worth $200 million.
What?
Fuck me.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right, I'm gonna. So after we get off this, I'm gonna go hang myself. Oh, fuck. Anyway, Dave Dufour, how are you,
my friend? I'm great. I'm great. I feel a lot worse now, but
I'm gonna actually leave that little part in. That's
I think we gotta leave that in.
I have to leave in.
I think we gotta
all
leave
the rest
it
of
in
the shit cutting out, but that I'm leaving in. Thanks for coming on the show again, buddy.
It's always a good time. Hey, I've missed you, man, and I'm having a beautiful Croatian red wine from my favorite place on the planet. It's called Boškanac. It was featured on Parts Unknown with Anthony Bourdain. No, not Parts Unknown. No Reservations with Anthony Bourdain back in the day. And it's on Pog Island, which is known for its Pocky Sir, or its sheep cheese.
Yeah.
Fantastic cheese. But also this red wine is delicious. I believe it uses the Babic grapes. So yeah, it's a good night.
Cheers.
Yeah.
I had no idea you were so cultured, my friend.
Hang on. Really?
I just didn't know. I mean, dude, like, I know you're really good with basketball.
I fancy myself a Renaissance man. Like, I mean, the only thing I don't do is art. And by art, I mean, like, art with your hands, like painting. I studied photography in college.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So I'm into art, but not like I can't draw or paint. Although I've never tried painting. I feel like maybe painting might be a little bit more forgiving than drawing. So
it's a fickle medium. I'm terrible at painting. I mean, I'm terrible at color. That's why I'm terrible at painting. I can't use color for the life of me, man. It's horrible.
Gotcha.
Black and white, I'm so good. Color, not so much.
Gotcha.
Yeah. My last few paintings, I just started painting skulls. So they're all black and white anyway.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm into food and wine though, like big time. So yeah, I mean, I actually thought about starting a wine podcast at one point, just so I could write off all the wine that I buy and drink. You know, we'll see.
Do it.
Yeah,
that sounds amazing. You want to talk some NBA in the meantime?
Sure.
So this is like, I'm just going to tell my listeners, this is like a spur of the moment podcast, because I was trying to get you on. How long has it been now since I've been trying to get you on the show?
I don't know.
Like three months?
Yeah, it definitely was like middle of December when we first started talking. And You know, so I just wrapped up coaching like a week and a half ago. So like that's not taking up as much of my time as it was. And so, yeah, I've got a little bit more time. But like the issue is the time difference. You know, you're on the East Coast and you've got a day job. And, you know, I just sit around watching basketball video all day. Nice. So, you know, my prime time to talk basketball is from like 8 a.m. till about 2 p.m. And then I get hit the gym and put in some work. Nice. Yeah, well, with basketball. And then I come home and, I, you know, I got to walk the dog. And then I watch some more basketball, you know.
Sounds like a pretty good life, man.
It's all right. It's not bad. I mean, it could be better. Somebody could give me copious amounts of money for doing that.
Yeah. You never know, man. Keep at it. Someday, maybe we'll both be, and you might be in the basketball world.
Hey, you're coming with me. That's it.
All right.
That's
all right. Deal.
Bringing everybody with me. I'm going to start my own sports network. Yeah.
Kind of like the one we're already on, but different.
Sure. Sure. I mean, like a TV network. Listen, man, I got a face for television.
Yes, you do.
I got
do.
A voice for radio and a face for television. I want to put it to use.
You got the whole package, my friend.
That's right. That's what my wife tells me all the time.
Nice. Well, anyway, so I was saying this whole thing came together like sort of last spur of the moment. So I figured, what the hell are we going to talk about? Let's talk about teams that are positioning themselves for the playoff race. Since we have about, what, a week until the All-Star game, which I don't give a shit about. Do you?
No, it's not even a week, man. The All-Star game is in 5 days. It's Saturday, right? Or Sunday. So six days away. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm actually going to be on the East Coast. I got a wedding. I would rather be at All-Star in LA. I love LA. But also, you know, it's cool to run into your friends and talk to people. And, you know, it would have been awesome to go to like a dunk contest live. But my wife's cousin is getting married. So we're going to Charleston to the wedding. And so I'm going to go have a good time there. I probably won't watch the All-Star game, which I guess I'm excited about. A few days off, you know?
Yeah. But I know you're excited to not watch the All-Star game because that's where I'm at.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still going to be on Synergy every day, catching up on stuff that I need to watch. But, you know, it's just because that's my life, my daily routine, man. Like I have to watch some basketball. You know, I need to see Danny Green. And like how does Danny Green work his feet in transition defense? Like, why is he so good? You know, I watched all these little nerdy things all the time. You know, like, I'm actually, while we're doing this, I'm watching Utah and San Antonio. That's why I brought up Danny Green. They ran Joe Ingles off of floppy and then he hits Gobert, who then lost the ball, but, it was a good idea. And Gobert just got a big putback. So for people trying to sync up their podcast to the video from a game a couple of days ago, I guess by the time this podcast comes out, that's where we're at.
Hopefully it'll come out tomorrow night. Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Anyway, let's talk a little bit about how teams are positioning themselves for the playoff race.
Well, so I mean, I was just the Jazz, right?
Yeah, dude. What is going on with the Jazz? Like all of a sudden,
Gobert is healthy, and that matters. Rubio was looking comfortable before he got injured. Donovan Mitchell has been great. Joe Ingles has been like a human flamethrower, and Royce O'Neal has been really, really good. And this team is really clicking at the right time.
I can honestly say, I don't know who Royce O'Neal is.
He was a two-way guy for them. I mean, he essentially was a large part of the reason that Rodney Hood got traded, because Royce O'Neal deserves a roster spot, and he's been great. In their big win over Portland Sunday night, he was like plus 28.
Jesus.
And he's starting for them with Rubio out. I mean, he's just been really good. And, man, that's a home run.
Is he a rookie?
I don't think he's been in the league before. So, yeah, he's a rookie. He was on a two-way contract. Let's see. Basketball reference. Yeah. Rookie.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Well, how old is he? He's a little bit older, right?
Man, they don't even have his age on his basketball reference page. Man, this is compelling.
This is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. He's 25. 24.
Well, still.
Well, he'll be 25 this summer. You know, but like, this is the thing, man.
6'5", 215, 6'6".
We've all turned into ageists when it comes to like looking at players. I will tell you what a scout told me about Thon Maker 2 years ago when I asked him if he felt like the Bucks made a mistake when they weren't sure how, like, you know what I mean? There's all that question about how old he is.
Right.
And this guy told me that, and his team picked after the Bucks. If Thon would have been available with their pick, they were taking Thon, that he was the guy that they wanted the most. That they thought might be available at their spot. And I asked him, I was like, you know, were you guys worried about age stuff? He was like, well, you know, at most, like, he might have been like 23, 24, but we think he's a good player.
Right.
And, you know, a good player is a good player. We're not worried about a guy's age until they're approaching 30.
Right.
So if you can get a good guy, a guy who can play at 23, 24, you've got him for 4 years on a cheap contract, and then you're worried about how old he is.
Yeah.
I thought that was such a good way of looking at it. I mean, I understand, like, you know, you want cost control.
It's a smaller window, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, so, it, you know, the whole cost control thing and all that, yes, it makes perfect sense.
But it's also not like we've never seen guys get better at 26 or 27.
Right, for sure.
So.
Where were we going?
I don't know. I just went off on a rant, though. The Jazz. The Jazz.
The Jazz.
As of this recording, had won 9 straight.
Yeah, which is incredible. And the Clippers are starting to lose games. They won 4 in a row when they got Blake, but what am I saying? When they traded Blake. No, I'm talking about the Pistons. God damn it, I'm going to cut all this out.
We're,
I don't even know what the Clippers are doing. But
I said, we are professionals.
We are total professionals, yes. The Clippers are starting to, they've lost a few games in a row, right? They lost to the Sixers.
I'll take your word for it. I can't remember.
This is why I always want to be prepared. This is why I want to do a podcast so I can look shit up first.
Actually, the Clippers won tonight, so they've won 1 in a row.
All right. So they have a one. Oh, my God.
They're on a one-game winning streak.
You know, the problem is, too, that we should never start in the Western Conference because I'm on the East Coast and I barely get to watch the Western Conference because I cannot stay up late enough.
Yeah.
Like, I have to work in the morning. So this, I'm way out of my depth right now.
Well, all right. So let's put it this way. There's a lot of teams from like 5 to 10. They're separated by 3 games in the loss column.
Yeah.
The Thunder have 25 losses. The Blazers, Nuggets, Pelicans and Clippers have 26 and the Jazz have 28. So the Jazz are going to, I feel like they're going to beat the Spurs tonight. They just look a little better. They're only up 1 in the third quarter, but it's a home game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got the Suns tomorrow or Wednesday. So I feel like the Jazz have a good shot at being 30 and 28 going into the break on an 11 game win streak. And then they'll come back from the break and probably have Rubio back. Their schedule is also like the 6th easiest in the league the rest of the way. I feel like the Jazz are now a lock for the playoffs, despite the fact that they were like 7 games back of the 8th seed.
Yeah.
When the night that Boogie Cousins got hurt, I remember because I specifically looked to see who could come up and steal the Pelican spot. And I circled the Jazz because of the Blake Griffin trade.
So, and this brings up the question. So you see that New Orleans and the Clippers are going to fall out, right? That's what you're thinking. That's what I'm thinking. I don't think New Orleans is going to be able to hold on to that spot, man.
It's unfortunate. I was so looking forward to playoff Boogie.
Yeah.
God, it was going to be awesome.
It was going to be so good, right?
Yeah.
He was having an amazing season, like career numbers for him.
Yeah,
he was unstoppable. The numbers he was putting up, didn't he have like a 50-point, like 30-rebound game or some shit like that? It was insane.
He had some crazy games. But, yeah, I mean, I just feel like we as fans deserve Boogie in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, and
I think Boogie deserves Boogie in the playoffs too. I mean, like, he's got such a chip on his shoulder. Maybe they would like chill him out just a little bit. It's really unfortunate that he's not going to make it again.
I know.
And by the way, that injury is really scary for a big guy having Achilles injury like that. It's really scary.
Dude, I'm in the gym a few days a week and I'm quickly approaching my 37th birthday. The only injury I'm scared of is a torn Achilles.
Ugh.
I'm a 5'9 point guard. I rely on speed and quickness. If I tear my Achilles, I'm basically done playing basketball. It's so scary. And I'm not an NBA player. Like, imagine, right. I've just gone into like Bill Simmons territory here, comparing myself and my pickup game. I didn't mean to do that.
No, it's fine. Who do you most resemble as a point guard? Who's most comparable to your game?
Got a lot of Eric Gordon to my game.
Oh, all right. Good.
Yeah, got a lot of Eric Gordon. Like, I can defend much bigger guys. Like, in Europe, there was a lot of times where I was guarding like 6'10 centers.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, low center of gravity, strong.
Yep. Yeah.
Long arms, and savvy. But yeah, and then I also drop bombs too. So, you know, like I've got like 30-foot range. So,
damn, dude.
Yeah, let's go.
I cannot play basketball for the life of me. I'm one of those guys. I've played it like most of my life,
sure.
But I am fucking terrible. You never want to see me with a ball in my hand. I cannot dribble. I have no handles. I can't shoot. The only thing I always prided myself on was my defense. But I'm not really that good at that either.
Oh, no.
So, but I am really wiry and very fast. Friends have always told me if I could dribble with both hands, I'd be unstoppable.
Oh, there
I
you
can't.
Go.
I yeah. can't.
Well, you know, most people can't dribble with both hands.
Yeah.
There's a lot of basketball players that can't dribble with both hands.
That's true. Even if I could cross over at all, if I could shoot, if I could go left, if you know, I'm like Zoolander. I can't go left.
not an ambi dribbler.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, anyway, enough about my basketball game.
God, we're in the weeds.
We're so in the weeds. This is going to be the most all over the place podcast.
I love it. Hey, by the way, you know, before everyone tunes out, make sure you subscribe and listen to my podcast.
Yes, where you'll get actual basketball information.
No, it goes off the rails just like this.
I'd rather go off the rails with you than anyone else I can think of.
Beautiful. Or on the rail. No. We're not making those jokes.
Let me ask you about Portland. Okay, so Portland has been winning a couple games in a row now. Let me look.
But they lost to the Jazz. Sunday
bitch.
Night. Yeah.
They're on a one game losing streak. Yeah.
Portland is in there. I think Portland is a lock. I think the Nuggets are a lock. I'm pretty sure the Thunder are a lock. And I think the Jazz are going to be like the eighth seed. You know, the Nuggets are 30-26 right now. And they're going to get Paul Millsap back right after the All-Star break. Now, hopefully, there's not much of a reintegration like issue there. He's able to come in day one and be good. But
well, I was actually going to mention that a reintegration. It would be more like an integration because he never really integrated with the team to begin with before he got injured.
Yeah, he barely got a chance to play. So
they didn't really figure it out. So it's going to be still trying to figure this whole thing out with him.
I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think he'll fit in fine. And he's exactly the guy they need. It's funny. I was watching a game last week, and I thought to myself, man, they really could use like a Paul Millsap type. And then I was like, oh, wait. You know how you just have those momentary lapses where you just forget. And I just like had forgotten that Paul Millsap was on the team for about 20 seconds. And I was like, oh, wait, they do have Paul Millsap, and they're about to get him. So they're essentially about to add like it's like a marquee free agent, but mid-season. It's huge, man. It's huge.
Yeah. And they're holding their own without him, so it's going to be a great addition.
Yeah. And I love the Devin Harris pickup for them as well.
Oh yeah, Devin Harris
exactly
is
what they needed.
That he gets.
Yeah. Well, and also they've needed like that sort of caretaker backup point guard since they shipped Jameer out of town.
Right.
Yeah.
What did you think of the Jameer trade going over to hook
Detroit?
Up with the
Love
it. Sorry.
I love it.
I have got
I like,
such indigestion right now. Sorry. I'm trying to speak and I'm just like ready.
Amazing
to
podcasting.
Yes, this is awesome.
Yeah, no. I loved it. I also loved the James Ennis trade for Detroit. I feel like Detroit really, really, you know, as well as you can do without getting a superstar, which they did actually, Blake Griffin, but like at the deadline itself, I feel like they really killed it with James Ennis, a guy that they can use and that they can give a role to and who's been really good when he has a defined role. And then Jameer Nelson, again, a veteran caretaker point guard for a team that could use a nice, caretaker point guard off the bench who can hit spot up threes around Drummond and Blake Griffin. I really think that, you know, it was a good job by Stan Van Gundy. Congratulations.
The only thing is they're dropping games like crazy. Now we'll get to the East. Let's stick in the West. Let's stick in the West and we'll talk about. So Oklahoma City, they started out rough. I think everybody felt like they were going to turn it around, and they started turning it around, and now they're hitting a little low patch again. But where do you see them finishing? Right around the 4 or 5 spot?
I think they're going to be in the 5 spot. I the Warriors, Rockets, Spurs, and Wolves look like they're the best 4 teams in the West. You know, the Spurs are about to hit a really tough part of their schedule, the remainder. So if they don't get Kawhi back, they could run into some issues. The Thunder are dealing with that Robertson injury, man. Like, and they're really missing him. I think, you know, Westbrook kind of put it perfectly when he talked about it the other day. I don't know if you saw that interview, but he talked about how Andre did a lot of stuff for them on both ends of the floor that were really important and often overlooked. And, you know, they had just started figuring out exactly where he needed to be in the offense with Paul George and, you know, using him as a screener, getting him into that dunker spot, getting Adams up around the elbow a little more often, giving guys space to operate. And it just sucks that he, you know, tore that patella or ruptured the patella at that point. I mean, you know, it's bad anyway, but especially since they really were getting it going.
They were just starting to flow, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to say he's an underrated defensive player because that's absolutely not true. Everybody knows how good he is on defense.
I still think he's underrated.
Yeah. It's crazy, right?
Like, everyone knows he's like one of the 5 best defenders in the league, but he's still probably underrated. Just like Draymond, right? Like, I think the same thing about Draymond. Like, Draymond is regarded as the best defender in the league, and still somehow people are underrating him.
It's crazy. I did a quick preview pod at the beginning of the season before the season started, and I was giving my defensive player of the year. He was on it. He was going to be my defensive player of the year just because I saw the team that they were putting together, and I was like, he's going to be so important defensively with Paul George and with having Steven Adams in the middle. Like, that's 3 of 5 guys right there that can defend the shit out of the ball, and it showed. They were having a really great defensive season. And I think he would have been in the running, man. Like, I think people were starting to wake up to the idea of, like, this guy is really freaking good on ball. And just as a team defender in general, like, it sucks for them. Like, their defense, I guess, has taken a slight step back. And it's just, even besides that, it really hurts their team overall. I think just taking him out as a piece, because he could still hit 3-pointers. He's not great. But, I mean, like, just losing him is a big loss for that team.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge.
But I still think if they can get it going, and then they can use their, you know, what is it, Josh Huestis, and who else are they plugging in now?
Ferguson.
Yeah, Ferguson. Rookie, right? And then, God damn it, I need to watch more basketball. this is embarrassing right now. Anyway, I'm going to cut that part out for sure. I still think they can give most of the teams. Like, I think they can. I honestly think I would still take them over the Wolves in a 7-game series.
With the Thunder?
I just think the Wolves are, like, really the only thing the Wolves have is Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns. I just trust Russell Westbrook more. I just do. Am I crazy?
Nah, I don't know, man.
Think about it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough.
Steven Adams can minimize Karl Anthony Towns.
Sort of.
Yeah, I guess.
And Paul George.
Like, nobody's really.
I mean, what do you have Paul George guarding Butler?
Right. And Paul George is a.
I mean, I don't know. I hate to go matchup by matchup. I don't know, man. It's tough. I kind of want them to be the 4 and 5. I want that series so bad.
Oh, that would be so good. Yeah.
Well, right now.
I mean, it's right
playoffs,
now. It is.
If the playoffs started today, that's our first round of the playoffs, and like, I would love to see that.
Oh yeah.
Love to see that.
It would be an amazing series.
Like, give me that. Let's watch it.
And also Golden State matching up against Utah, the way Utah is playing right now, man, that would also be super fun. I mean, obviously I don't think anybody's beating Golden State still, but it would be a great series. And honestly, that's what you want going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
What else you got? San Antonio and Portland. If we ended right now, if this was the way the season ended, and honestly, like, we're what, 30 games away? Less. We're like 25
games away.
It's a great. Why do people say like the All-Star game is the midway point of the season? It's so freaking untrue.
Yeah, it's
the
definitely
three-quarter
like,
point. Yeah,
almost not quite three not quarters. Quite, it's like the 60% mark. Yeah. So we if it ended today, it'd be Warriors, Pelicans, Rockets, Nuggets, Spurs, Blazers, Wolves, Thunder.
And that 4-5 would be so much fun to watch. Juicy, man. Juicy match.
Yeah, it'd be great. I mean, I don't know how much upset potential there is in the West. The East has tons of upset potential.
Let's talk about the East. Let's talk about it.
Well, so the Cavs are just a brand new team now. So throw everything out the window up to this point about the Cavs. They are going to be unpredictable. It literally, I mean, they could be gangbusters or they might just be not much better. I don't know yet. That the one game against the Celtics is not enough to know. I think that game against the Celtics tells us what we need to know about the Celtics.
Yes. You know what it does tell you about the Cavs is that LeBron's still LeBron when he's motivated.
Absolutely.
LeBron. Yeah. Like there, as long as LeBron is motivated, as long as LeBron wants to play, you're not beating him. You're just not. He's that good.
Yeah. But the Raptors are really good. The Celtics are that offense is problematic. Mm-hmm. The Wizards have been doing okay.
I saw a statistic about Boston today. It was that they have the most open 3-point shots percentage in the league, and they are the most open 3-point shots, and they have a terrible 3-point percentage on open shots. Which is not good, man. It just tells you, like, their guys can't hit threes. They're very inconsistent at it.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. And if you're taking that many threes and you're not making them, that means your offense isn't great. But, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
We're on the same page there. You know, I just think if you look at the bottom half of the East, you've got the Bucks, the Pacers, the Sixers, and the Heat right now with the Pistons outside looking in. But let's just say it's the Bucks, Pacers, Sixers, and Heat. That's four teams you don't – I mean, I wouldn't want to play any of them. I mean, the Pacers out of all of them, you know, I would probably like to face the most. And even playing against them, like, they play high-variance basketball. They push the pace. They're shooting a ton of threes. Victor Oladipo has shown that he can take over a game, which could you imagine saying that?
Last year.
How about in the summer when he was traded for Paul George and everyone was like, oh, my God, what? The sky is falling. You know what I mean? Oh, the Pacers got nothing for Paul George.
Yeah. Meanwhile, he's been incredible this season, man.
He's
incredible.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy for Bill Simmons that he's finally living up to Bill Simmons' prediction. Because he was banging that drum for the longest time. He's like, I still think Oladipo is going to be good. No, he was right. Good for Bill Simmons. He needed a win, right?
Bill Simmons did?
Yeah.
I don't know if he did.
He needed a win. He was taking some L's. It was tough. I mean, after the Patriots lost. Anyway, listen, I'm just joking. Bill Simmons was like, why am I even talking about
doesn't
Bill Simmons?
Know that this podcast exists.
Thank you. Hey, but it's true.
Mine either. So
yeah, no, it's fine. He might know yours exists. I think people
don't
know about you.
I don't know. I think people know about me. I don't know if they know about my podcast. Cause I get that thing where people are like, dude, I didn't know you had a podcast. I'm like, what? I mean, is it my bio? I tweet them out all the time. Like, come on now.
Yeah. Where were we?
People got to turn on notifications like I'm Woj. That's what I need. Turn on your Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter and you listen to this podcast, turn on your notifications because all these tweets are fire.
They are. You are a great follow on Twitter. I have your notifications.
I've been making some good jokes lately. I've been on fire there, but the analysis has been not subpar. It's been maybe subpar for me. It's okay.
It's always great, man. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, what were we talking about?
We were talking about the East.
Yeah.
Listen,
if it ended right now, it would be Toronto, Miami, because Miami's actually in the 8th spot right now, and Philadelphia is in the 7th, which blows my mind because I didn't think they would be here. And by the way, they're playing Wednesday night, which is going to be a really exciting game. It's in Philly. They just came off a win again. They've won 10 in a row at home. They have Miami coming into town. It's going to be probably like a playoff atmosphere, that game, because they're both vying for that 8th spot right now. We should mention Detroit, though, real quick. We were talking about how they made these trades. They made a trade for Blake Griffin. They won four in a row when they first got him. And now they're not able to do anything. They picked up James Ennis, and they picked up, you just said his name, and I totally forget him.
Jameer Nelson.
Thank you. Jameer Nelson, who I used to love back in Orlando. You'd think that would be enough to get them, like, going. They were some really nice additions to the team. I don't know what's going to happen with them. The way they're losing, man, I can't see them getting back into the playoff race.
Yeah, I mean, they had a shot there. They were on a nice little run, and then they've dropped three straight as of this recording. You know, I'm not sure if they can muster up, just because of the teams that are ahead of them, not even as much about them. But like, the Sixers are really hitting their stride right now. Like, they're playing some really great basketball. Obviously the Bucks have been much improved since Joe Prunty took over. They've got the best defense in the league, so I can't imagine they're dropping out. Mm-hmm. The Heat are the Heat, and Spo is going to Spo. And then the Pacers, man, they built themselves a nice cushion. So, you know, yeah, I just don't know if there's room for the Pistons.
I mean, honestly, that's a good point. If there's one team I could see falling off, it would be Indiana. But as you mentioned, they built themselves a nice cushion. They have a 5-game cushion, 6-game cushion on them right now.
And that'd be tough for the Pistons to kind of make up. Yeah.
Yeah, because we're in the home stretch, like we just talked about. There's not, when you think about it, the season is so truncated right now. There's not enough time to make up that much space. Like, you're really vying for like one spot at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to make it, man. I mean, Miami's the closest to them, and Miami, they're not a great team.
They haven't played great lately, but I think that they're a better team than they've played. And I think, you know, it's funny, like D Wade, they brought him home as like a, hey, you know, like we want to take care of your thing. But honestly, D Wade as the playmaker on second units is going to be pretty good for them. He was, arguably he was the second best player in Cleveland. Running second unit. So, you know, he's not like a bad player, and he should help them. So, I don't know, man. I think the Heat are going to definitely make the playoffs. So, I don't know. We'll see. But back to the upset potential. Like, I wouldn't want to play the Bucks or Sixers for sure.
No.
And Miami's so well coached that I could see them taking a series that, you know, if they're playing Toronto should sweep that series. But I don't. I would guess it's going at least 6 games, you know. And a 1-8, you want to get a sweep or a 5-game series. You don't want it to go 6. The half the, you know, advantage of getting that one seed is that you play a much worse team, and Spo just coaches these teams
and you get
up.
To rest.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just like Carlisle, you know. Carlisle, like, the Mavericks stink. They're not winning a ton of games. But if you told me that you got to play one game to make the playoffs tomorrow, and it was the Dallas Mavericks, nah, man, fuck that. I would I would want to opt out of that. That's a terrible idea, right? You get what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah, a good coach. You know this because you're a coach. Is that X factor, right? Like, you can have all the talent in the world if your coach sucks. Well, look at Milwaukee. You can have all the talent in the world if your coach sucks. You're probably not going to win. So Cleveland, you know, we were talking about this a little bit and how they were hitting their stride just before Isaiah came back, right? They were starting to look like
that's fool's gold, though. They were playing some garbage teams.
Oh, fair enough. But their defense was better. They were getting Kevin Love involved. They were actually, their offense was starting to click. And at that time, like a third of the way through the season, you know, like you just mentioned, Dwayne Wade was really important. He was like the second best player on that team running the bench. And then all of a sudden, you got all these guys coming back and everybody's unhappy and it's like locker room bullshit and everybody's talking to the media. And
wait, was it everybody or was it just Isaiah Thomas?
Pretty much just Isaiah.
Yeah. Listen,
I didn't
realize, man, I
didn't realize how much of a distraction he was. I mean, I heard you talking on another podcast this week about being a locker room distraction. I guess that's really a real thing, huh?
It is. Yeah. I mean, you know, I can you imagine how Ty Lue felt? Like, think about it, man. Like, you're the coach of the team, and you've got a guy who's been with your team for like 11 or 12 games, mm-hmm. but we don't make adjustments. And now you've got those guys still sniping at Ty Lue from other teams. Like Jay Crowder talking about it's nice to play in a system. Well, let me tell you something, man. The system in Boston did not get them to a finals.
No.
Okay. The system in Utah has yet to get them to a final. I know that Pop and the system, like people think that's a thing. Look, the Spurs don't really run that many plays. Running plays is not necessarily good basketball. You could get any five guys on the court and teach them to run plays. Mm-hmm. What you want are guys that can go out and make plays. Like Rick Carlisle is a firm believer in this. Like he doesn't like to call plays. The fewer play calls you make, the better your offense is going to be because it's hard to game plan when guys just do good things. This is why the spread pick and roll is so effective because coming out of the spread pick and roll, okay, so you don't know what's going to happen. A guy could pull up, guy could drive off the pick. He could mm-hmm. hit the roll man, hit the lob. The roll man can pop. You can hit the guy in the corner. You can do all these things, and it's simple. But if guys make plays, you get the defense out of position and the ball keeps moving and then you get open shots or you get, you know, lanes to the basket. But if you're going to go out there and just run some motion stuff, I mean, flex is making a comeback in the NBA, which is totally fine for an out of bounds play. But I'm a fan of guys making plays, showing high basketball IQ and being effective that way rather than, listen, you go from this spot to this spot, you make this pass, you make this screen, blah, 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 blah. That stuff is easy to scout,
mm-hmm.
especially come playoff time. This is why we're seeing, I think Toronto is going to have more success in the playoffs this year versus previous years. Not only are they generating better looks, but they're getting looks out of stuff that isn't as predictable as their old stuff.
Yeah, they're also sharing the ball a lot more. Like when you pass the ball around, it opens up the floor for you. You can run guys off the screens. You can get them. Yeah. So where was I going? Where was I going with this? Well, what do you want?
I don't know,
what do you think?
I
what
went
do you think?
On a rant.
That's fine. That's fine. None of this is scripted. We are completely off script here.
Yeah. Well, it's not normally scripted. For me, at least.
Well,
you send me rundowns, and I just don't look at them.
I know. Nobody looks at my rundowns. It's more for me. It's like, sure. Oh, so I don't forget my place and do what I just did. Like,
I can understand that.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about the idea of, like, since Isaiah has been traded, he had one game with L.A., and everybody's talking on Twitter now about, like, oh, they're running him off his screens. This is how he was so successful in Boston last year. And now the Cavs didn't do any of that. This is why he wasn't successful in Cleveland. What do you think about that? If they're like, I guess they're not really running plays for him, but they're screening for him a lot better. Like, do you think that's like set plays or do you think it's, does that go to your idea of,
I don't know. I didn't watch him.
All right.
No, don't cut it. No, yeah. Leave it. Definitely leave this. Like, cause
I'm leaving
I think
everything.
It's important. All right. I think it's important that people know, I didn't watch him play with the Lakers. I don't care. Right?
Fair.
Like, Isaiah Thomas was on what is considered a finals favorite in the mm-hmm. East. He played like garbage with LeBron James. Now, I'll be the first to admit that it might have been a shaky fit. At the same time, I also watched him dribble up court, 18 seconds left on the shot clock, pulling up a 25-foot three and getting it blocked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so obviously decision-making was not there. And then I watched him go to the press right after game and talk about other places he's been at. Guys were on the floor going for loose balls, talking about defense, and he is definitely the worst defender in the league.
Easily.
I know all I need to know. I think Isaiah Thomas is probably like a minimum contract this summer.
Which is incredible. No, it's true. It's absolutely true. Can you think of a guy who went from superstar to what he's about to get for his next contract like that? Like people talk about it, like Dwight had a precipitous drop like this, but Dwight wasn't like this. Who else in the world has had a drop like this? It's sad too, because I can't stop talking about it because it's just such a compelling story. But like, dude, he gave everything for that Boston team. Like he put his heart and soul out there. You know, we don't even have to mention that his sister passed away, which is really tragic. And like everyone was in his corner.
Sure.
Everyone. Like he lost his teeth in a game in the playoffs. Like most people are like, dude, you don't have to play the playoffs. It's fine. Like take some time and grieve. And went out there, gave it all. He was amazing. Amazing. And then to come in next year, this year, you know, with the hip injury, fine, but whatever. Like he's destroyed his stock by opening his mouth, which is unfreaking believable to me. Do you have any thoughts about this?
I mean, I think that just everything you just said was true.
Thank you.
I don't have an opinion.
I speak only truth.
Oh. I don't have an opinion on it, but it was true, right? Like, he did himself no favors.
No.
And I just, you know, that locker room stuff matters, man. It really does. And you know, if people don't want to believe that, that's on them. I know that there's a lot of analytics people that look at these wasted roster spots, like when they sign Kendrick Perkins and, you know, they've got James Jones and they just see it as a waste of a spot. But these guys live together for 9 months out of the year, man. And, you know, like everybody has a family, right?
Yeah.
So you know that there are people in your family that drive you nuts. You need buffers with some of your family and some of your friends, right? You need people that keep the peace and all that stuff. Those people are important because, you know, at the end of the day, these are human beings trying to go play basketball.
Yeah.
We want them to be robots. I think this is one of those things where, like, people play too much 2K and they sort of forget, like.
You know, yeah, like, these are real people. They're
your
really,
mood
real
can
people.
Affect yeah. how you play.
Well, no, and that's why I asked you about it, because you are a coach and I'm sure you've seen interactions in a locker room. Like, I've never seen it. I've never actually experienced it firsthand to see people not get along and kind of
listen,
ruin the
man,
culture of
hey,
a team.
I punched my best friend in the face over a pickup game.
Good for you.
Okay. No, terrible.
You're a horrible human being. Why would you do that?
I think I was 14 or maybe I was 13.
You're
but no, terrible. Oh, because I felt like he wasn't playing hard defense in a pickup game.
Really?
And I punched him in the face.
Jesus Christ, you're competitive.
Yeah. Okay, but that's not being a good teammate.
That
right?
is like, not.
No,
that's the antithesis of being a good teammate.
I needed a James Jones.
Yeah.
Right? To keep that Break stuff up. In check, right? Man. And I just think that kind of stuff is important, man. You need like a veteran presence. I mean, you know, we saw this with the Sixers when they were going through their tank. I don't know if Elton Brand was the right guy, but they could have used some guys. I mean, you know, like J.J. Redick has been great for them this year. I don't know if you read the Kyle Newbeck piece about Markel Fultz. You know, the fact that J.J. has just been working with them. It's not his job, but you know, he's kind of seen it as his job. And I saw where J.J.'s defended him in the media, kind of yelling at the media, which I'm not a huge fan of because the media is just – they're doing their job.
Right.
You know,
well, yeah, there was that video where he called him a bunch of, what did he say?
He's like
sick.
Yeah. He's like, yeah. He's a 19-year-old kid or whatever. All right. Well, let's chill with that stuff. But, at the same time, like that's important. That's important as well. Right. Like JJ's been there before. He's been in the playoffs. He's done all this stuff. And so I don't know, man, I try not to be too robotic about it. And maybe that's the coach in me. Because there definitely been times where I felt that way where like, oh man, if only they had a guy who could play instead of, you know, insert crappy player X. But sometimes those guys, they really do fill an important role. How in the hell did we get on this?
I don't know. So Toronto and Miami would match up. Dude, this is the stuff I love. Like,
this is
going to
be,
I can't do X's.
People are
going to
love this podcast or they're going to hate it. They're either going to love it or hate it.
I'm going to let you in on a secret. Nobody listens. So.
Oh, well, all right. There you go. All right.
The two people that listen, they're going to love it. Don't worry.
All right.
This is the shit that I love. Honestly, this is where I'm at with the NBA. Like I emotionally attach myself to sports for some dumb reason. But
see,
I really like to get invested in people's. Yeah.
See, like I'm not a fan. I don't have any fandom. I have guys I like and I have stuff I like. And don't get me wrong, man, I get excited. Easily. I love basketball. I love the game, but like, I don't root for any outcome. Like, I mean, I'm watching the Jazz and the Spurs right now as we're doing this. I mean, peripherally, right? I'm not like paying attention, but these are like, I have traditionally rooted for the Spurs quite a bit because I just love how they play. And I love like Manu Ginobili is one of my favorite players of all time. And, you know, obviously I'm a coach and Greg Popovich, like, you know, that's sort of a guy I admire. But then I really, this Jazz team is so much fun. I mean, Donovan Mitchell is my son. So.
I see the resemblance. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we basically, like, it's like the Spider-Man meme. But so like I watched this game. It's just like I just watch it for the value of the game, and it's fun for me. Like no matter what. So I mean, I know I'm in this weird spot. Like, but human beings are tribal animals. So like I don't get. I try not to get too like bent out of shape about people's fandom.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wasn't necessarily speaking just to fandom. I was talking about like the idea that like I enjoy hearing more about players as a human being. You know what I mean? Like how their attitudes and their personal experience might affect the game and the team they play on. That stuff's really interesting to me. You know, that's just me, I guess.
No, man, the human interest part is it's such a large part of sports, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, it's obviously something we can, why do we watch this shit?
It's the one, well, we connect to it because it's like war.
That's
if you really want to get into the anthropological stuff, right? Like it's war and you're part of the Sixers clan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, you're a fan of your army kicking ass. Now again, my evolved brain doesn't think that way. It's just you apes that still, no, just kidding. yes. But the human part of it is the one thing we can relate to, right? Like we can like say, you know, for most of us, you know, I got 10 fingers, they got 10 fingers. I got, you know, like I got 10 toes, they got 10 toes. I got a nose, they got a nose.
Well, and also that like you can see them clearly, clear as day, unlike a lot of other sports. You recognize them by their face.
That's why
not
basketball players, are so marketable because a lot of face, like free throws, FaceTime, man.
Yep.
And football is ruined. Like you only get quarterbacks basically being marketable because they're really the only guys you ever get to see. And
offensive and defensive linemen, forget it. They don't get any commercials. Well, sometimes, but they're usually with a quarterback when they get them.
That's one of my arguments for eliminating helmets and pads in the NFL. But, you know, but
listen, we're not talking about the.
No, we're not. Because
we are so all
care.
Over the place. And I love
it. Yeah, but like the human part of it, right? Like we can relate. And the beauty of basketball is, man, like we've all played it. Right.
Like even if we played it terribly, like myself. Yes.
Even if you're bad, you've still like you can go out, you can go shoot hoops. Man, when I was a kid, dude, I used to watch so much basketball and, you know, I also played a ton of basketball like during the summer. You know, I'm playing like 12, 14 hours a day and then I'd watch basketball, you know, WGN luckily was on cable. So I got to watch all the Bulls games. And, you know, there would be times like All-Star. Right. Like you'd watch the All-Star game in the afternoon. You go out. Oh, man, I'm going to go play some basketball, even though it's freezing cold outside. I don't know. I think that the basketball is so relatable for that reason. And also you can play by yourself. I can just go out and shoot free throws alone. I don't need 9 people. actually 18 people for baseball and for football. If you're playing anything less than like 5-on-5, it's terrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, basketball is great for that reason. Like, I can just go out with a ball and shoot free throws or whatever. And so it's super relatable. This is, like, again, this is why I think basketball is going to be the best sport. Like, it is the best sport as far as I'm concerned. It's a thinking person sport. Mm-hmm. And also, you get to see guys do amazing things athletically. But I do believe it will take over the landscape of American entertainment over the course of the next decade because it has longevity. You know, guys don't have these brain injuries like you have in football. I mean, it's already surpassed baseball.
Yeah.
Anybody
who says baseball is America's sport is really not in touch with anything.
No, basketball is America's sport. I mean, football probably is.
Football probably still
but,
is,
but football is going away. It's a dying sport. Anyway.
It really is.
So back to the buck. No.
Yes. No. Hey, listen, it's fine. You know, we've just been talking. I was just going to say some matchups that I was hoping maybe here's my ideal matchup for the Eastern playoffs. I want Philly to play Cleveland. I know Philly will be a first round buyout or first round out. But man, would that series be fun. I just want to see Joel Embiid crush everybody in the paint. And I want to see Ben Simmons play against LeBron. He's his mentor, man. I just think that would be such
a fun
series.
LeBron is Ben Simmons' mentor?
Yeah. You did not know this?
I mean, I know he's in. All right, I know he's a part of Clutch Sports, but
they're
like
all summer long, and they were like practicing together. And like I'm telling you. Like, I also have a theory that like I up until this trade, I thought that LeBron was definitely leaving the Cavs, and the more the longer it went on, the more I was thinking that he was going to end up on Philly. Not that I want that.
Yeah, it'd be terrible for Philly.
It would be terrible for Philly, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it just would not be great. I mean, it would be great. They'd probably make the championship, but, you know, it's too much too soon for young guys. It's not.
Are you watching the Olympics?
No, I haven't watched a second of it.
Me either, but, like,
should we stop this podcast?
Chloe Kim is just all over my timeline. Apparently, she just won half-pipe snowboard gold medal. So congratulations, Chloe Kim.
All right.
Should we stop this?
Yeah, maybe. Dave, listen, this was the most all over freaking podcast I've ever done, and I'm happy to have done it with you.
Hopefully your listeners like it and appreciate it. Like, this is just two guys that like talking to each other, having a good time. Listeners, if you're not already subscribe to this podcast. Go to iTunes, rate and review this podcast. Again, I know I say this every time I'm on here. That is the most important thing you can do. It is free. If you like it, go let iTunes know, because this is how other people find it. And also how we podcasters go to sponsors and say, hey, look, people can see my podcast on iTunes. People like my podcast. Give me money. And that keeps it free.
Exactly.
So please, everybody, go do that. Joe is a great guy, and he deserves your support, especially if you like this podcast. If you don't like it, forget everything I just said.
Then go over to Dave's podcast, which he's going to tell you what it is right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody knows by now, my podcast on the NBA with Dave DeFore. Follow me on Twitter, Dave DeFore NBA. Come for the analysis, stay for the jokes. Leave the facts at home. Yeah, that's it.
Awesome. You are a great guest and a great host, actually. And I'm going to start listening to your podcast every freaking time.
Oh, yeah.
But wait, I don't feel so bad, though. How many of mine have you listened to?
I think I've listened to like five. I have. I'm subscribed, but I just, you know what happens? Like, I know.
There's too many. There's
well,
too many.
Also, I don't like for other people's takes to invade my takes.
Oh, yeah. All right.
So I cut down how many podcasts I listen to. Now, interview, like podcast, like Zach Lowe does mostly interview podcasts with people. Mm-hmm. I will listen to Zach Lowe. Like, that's must listen. But almost every other basketball podcast I have cut out because I felt my takes being influenced. Also, I don't need an opinion on stuff I haven't had a chance to watch.
Yeah.
Because I like to be honest about it. Like again, I didn't see Isaiah Thomas with the Lakers. I don't want to hear about it. I'll watch it when I try to catch up, you know, over All-Star. Because hopefully by then he'll have enough, you know, a couple of games. Yeah. You know, so that's why I sort of did, like, I streamlined my process. Also, I've been listening to the Slate Watergate podcast, Slow Burn.
Ooh, really?
It's fantastic. I highly recommend it to you and to all your listeners. It is not only is it fantastic, poignant and timely. I will just say that. It's a really good podcast.
I am definitely going to subscribe and download that shit.
Yeah, Slow Burn. Right.
Yeah, I'm going to stop this recording now. Dave DeFore on the NBA, everyone. Thanks again, Dave, so much for coming on. It was a blast. And I'll catch you guys again next week.